Alright, here goes. Time for the taste test. Oh my goodness.
It's like a better chicken nugget.
I'm John Kay, Director of Traditional Arts Indiana, and I'm proud to present Second Servings, an original podcast series that explores the food traditions that give flavor to Indiana culture. In this episode of Second Servings, we'll visit local kitchens and roadside diners to talk about a dish indispensable to Indiana taste buds, the juicy, mouth-watering breaded pork tenderloin sandwich. Betsy Shepherd brings us this story.
Any Hoosier menu that doesn't include the breaded pork tenderloin sandwich has a mammoth hole in it. The breaded pork tenderloin, which often spans the size of the plate on which it's served, is a mainstay in Indiana cuisine. According to Rick Garrett, the breaded pork tenderloin connoisseur who has been featured on the Food Network, Indiana identity is defined, in part, by this celebrated staple.
Like the Indianapolis 500 and all the IU championships are certain things that people relate with Indiana. And I think the breaded tenderloin is one of those. They're found in Iowa and occasionally in Illinois and some other places, but Indiana is where they're generally accepted to have been invented at Nick's Kitchen in Huntington, Indiana. And I think it's just something that identifies us as Hoosier.
Why the breaded pork tenderloin? And why Indiana? To understand that, you have to understand its origins. Rick recounts the momentous marriage between bread and pork that took place in the 1920s at Nick's Kitchen in Huntington, Indiana.
The story that I have got is that the family that owned the original restaurant was a German family. And there is a German dish called schnitzel, which is basically a breaded veal cutlet. In Indiana, in the 1920s and 30s, veal was not a real common commodity. But pork was. So he thought, I wonder what would happen if I bred this. And so he breaded pork, and a legend was born.
People the world over make pilgrimages to Indiana in search of the best breaded pork tenderloin. For these adventurists, the Indiana Foodways Alliance has organized a tenderloin trail that includes Indiana's best breaded pork purveyors. One of the restaurants on that list is Story's Restaurant in Greensburg, Indiana. Here is co-owner Don Story.
My name's Don Story. I'm co-owner of Story's Restaurant with my brother Chuck and my sister Beth. We've been here since 1977. We started serving this breaded tenderloin back in about 78 or 9, I'd say. We're old-fashioned, and we believe if it's not broke, don't fix it. So we haven't changed the recipe a whole lot since we started it 30 years ago or so.
Here, Don Story shares his business approach.
We're just a little diner that has a lot of repeat business, and we don't advertise, and we operate on word of mouth. And if you're any good, they're going to find out, and if you aren't any good, they're going to find out. And we've kind of tried to earn a reputation over 30 years.
Tenderloin expert Rick Garrett tends to agree that what makes Indiana and its tenderloin so special is its simplicity.
We take real pride in using fresh tenderloin. And we don't do a lot of fancy things with our batter. Sometimes it's just cornmeal, corn flakes, egg wash, flour, and that's it. One thing I think that fits us as people in Indiana is we're just plain, and I mean that as a very high compliment, you know? We're the kind of people that just do what we need to do and have fun doing it. We don't try to fancy it up, and we don't try to make it look like it's something that's not. It's just, this is who we are, take it or leave it. And I think that's the way we treat our sandwiches.
When asked about how the sandwich became such a consuming passion, Rick recalls the moment he first saw the light.
I can remember the old neon sign, and they had radio commercials that said, John's Awful Awful Drive-In, awful big, awful good. And I was out with a bunch of buddies, probably a sophomore in high school, and had one, and it was like, oh my gosh, what have I been missing all my life? You know, fried pork. So I was hooked after that.
Rick's love for breaded pork has taken him all over the Midwest in search of the perfect sandwich. And according to Rick, the best breaded pork tenderloin sandwich is found in one of the unlikeliest of places.
My most memorable pork tenderloin ever was at a filling station, of all places, in Knobbone, Indiana. So it was just a nice, thick, juicy piece of pork. It was just simple breading, but it was just so perfectly cooked. And there was just something about biting into that exceptional sandwich in a gas station that just made it a great experience.
If that description wasn't enticing enough, then for the love of adventure and all things pork, my coworker James and I decided to take a pilgrimage to Knobbone to see for ourselves what people were hailing as Indiana's holy grail of breaded meat. So how did we find the off-the-grid joint Rick was talking about? Roger Sharp, the owner of Knobmart, made it easy for us.
That's why on my sign it says home of the original Knobbone tenderloin, because I am the originator of this tenderloin.
But we weren't the only ones privy to Knobmart's specialty sandwich. Here is Roger Sharp talking about the store's worldwide reputation.
I had a customer in here on Saturday that had been to Austria, and that's where they have the schnitzel. And schnitzel is tenderloin. And the guy came out that was waiting on him and said, well, where are you from? He said, I'm from Indiana. He said, I hear the best tenderloin in the world is in Indiana. He said, oh, really? Well, what town's it in? He said, Knobbone. And this is in Austria.
While the internationally famed Knobmart can no longer be called Indiana's best kept secret, Roger Sharp carefully guards his recipe for success.
Can you tell us what makes that recipe the special one?
Yeah, I could tell you that, but I'd have to shoot you. So I don't think I'm going to tell you.
Roger was tight-lipped about some of his specialty ingredients, but ever the gracious host and breaded pork promoter, Roger gave us a tour of Knobmart and walked us through the step-by-step process of sandwich making, from pig to platter.
You'll have to close your eyes when I take you in certain areas,
okay,
so you can't
fine.
See what
that's
I'm doing.
Fine.
Yeah, I'll show you how I get them. I'll show you what they look like before I prep them, after I get them done, and then fix you one and let you be the judge.
First, he soaks them in a marinade.
This is what they look like after they've been in my marinade. I take them out and drain them. The drier they are, still want them tacky. The breading sticks to them good, and it doesn't hurt my oil. So that's where these are now. These are ready to be breaded.
Then he hand breads them.
I bring them back here and I hand bread every one of them. So this is what they look like once they get breaded. And I like for them to set a half hour to 45 minutes before I cook them. And then that gives us a nice golden brown.
And finally, he transforms them into a crispy golden brown patty. His tenderloins are broasted, not fried. Here he explains the difference.
And we're going to put this in here. And I'm not going to tell you how long, because nobody needs to know. It's more than a minute and less than a day. And we're going to pressurize the system. This is where you get your natural juices of the meat. We're not going to put them in something and let them soak in oil and get saturated with oil. We're going to put them in here, and instead of cooking from the outside in, we're going to cook them from the inside out.
With our piping hot tenderloins made to order, it was time to add all the fixins.
Well, you tell Mandy what you want on it, and we're going to get it ready for you and let you try it.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And now for the moment of truth.
All right, here goes. Time for the taste test.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
It's like a better chicken nugget.
You'll have to excuse James. He's a vegetarian. Despite James's inadequate description, mine wasn't much better. The taste was simply indescribable. But I gotta agree with Rick Garrett. There is something about eating a pork sandwich in a filling station flooded with fluorescent lighting and the smell of hot grease.
Well, I had a customer come in that had brought some of their family from out of town. And they said, come on, we're going to take you out for dinner. And they pull in here and they said, I thought we was going out to dinner. I said, well, we are. In a gas station? Yeah, it's different. It's different. It's not, it's nothing fancy. It's just us. It's how we started, and that's how we continue to do it.
Knobmart, like Story's Restaurant, thrives on its local customers.
But that's what you got to have, is the repeat business. You know, if everybody just comes and tries it and it's nothing special, they're not going to come back. So at some point, you're going to run out of people to try your tenderloin. But the people that just keep coming back, that's just a good feeling.
Once you try their breaded pork tenderloin sandwich, it won't be a mystery why people keep going back. Nomart, Stories, and many of the local diners that specialize in breaded pork tenderloin sandwiches are places where people gather to enjoy the foods that define what it means to be a Hoosier.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Second Servings. We'd like to thank musical contributors Jake Brown and Blue Line, Olivia Smiley and Jeff Guernsey, and all those who helped in the making of this episode. This production was made possible by funding from the Indiana Humanities and is brought to you by Traditional Arts Indiana, which is dedicated to identifying and documenting Indiana's traditional practices in partnership with Indiana University and the Indiana Arts Commission. We'll see you next time, and until then, pass the plate and pass on a tradition.